and just share that opportunity together. It's been an incredible spring so far. I'm just so thankful for the rain. What a beautiful blessing to see our landscape becoming green. I was getting tired of the brown. Anybody else getting tired of that? Mm-hmm. About a year and a half of brown is enough for me. I like the green or the white. Right? Come on. I think green might win over the white, but hey, you know, we appreciate it all. Why don't you stand with me as we open with prayer and just give thanks to the Lord? It's a special day today as we honor our guests who will be sharing about their ministry in another part of the world. And we're excited to have some folks that are new friends of mine. I just got to meet them, but we're partners in ministry and able to just celebrate what God can do through missions and ministries around the world. But we're here together as a family, and let's just give thanks and glorify his name, shall we? Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the great blessings you've given us. We know that the blessings of rain are substantial. They're great, but that is nothing compared to the blessing that you give through your Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the joy and the peace, which is eternal, that we can receive in you and that we can rejoice in all circumstance. Even if the rains don't come to the land, we rejoice in who you are. We celebrate your love, the peace and the joy and the hope that we always have in you. And today, Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done and what you're about to do on this special day and in our future as we walk in faith. We just bless this opportunity of gathering in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's sing some songs together as we worship the Lord.
The Lord.
I'm wrestling with my keyboard. And somebody's telling me to turn the volume up in the house a little bit, maybe. Okay, we'll try that. And we'll start over again. All right. I'm just going to start singing. We'll skip the drums. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. I worship you. Yeah, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. It's my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. That is who you are. 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 That is who you
are. Sometimes it's hard to see what God's doing because of their circumstances. We get a little confused and we think it's about us and how we feel about it. And we have to back up a few steps sometimes and realize that God has a plan. And we don't always understand everything he's trying to do. But he never leaves. He doesn't forsake. He's with us through everything we face. And even though we may not understand exactly what the plan is, we do know who the planner is. And we can trust his plan. And I just want you to be encouraged by that. Whatever it is you're facing right now that seems overwhelming, give that burden to God. He has it in his hands. And it may not be something you can see easily, but he is going to take you through to a place of great blessing and great reward as you're faithful. He is always faithful, and I encourage you to be faithful to him. Amen. He has a plan for you. And I just want to pray for whoever needed that word right now. Amen. Let's do that. Lord, thank you for that encouragement. I believe your Holy Spirit was quickening my heart to say those words for someone specifically. That person right now knows that you hear their prayers. Thank you for sharing that experience with all of us. And now, Lord, we are thankful that as we trust in you in all things, we can also bless you as you have blessed us. This is our time where we normally just say thank you for the blessings and we have an offering. And so, Lord, we bless that time and everyone who's able to give. And just ask that you'll take whatever comes, that it will further your kingdom. We are not about building our kingdoms on this earth. We are about building your kingdom and reaching your people, those who are hurting and those who are still lost, that they might be found. And so I pray, Lord God, your blessing on everyone that's able to give in this offering, for tithes, for offerings that go above and beyond. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're welcome to give in the offering today if you like. We're not passing plates. We just have them up front. And we do have the opportunity for online giving for those who prefer that way of giving also. And just thank you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. For those of you who are part of this church family and have been, God is doing great things through your faithfulness. Later in the service, we're going to have the privilege of giving to our missionaries and just encouraging them with a blessing as well. So keep that in mind. And let's just continue to worship the Lord. We're a little short-staffed. We have a lot of people gone this week with Memorial Day weekend, traveling here, there, and everywhere. But let's just be in the right mindset to just say, Lord, I'm here to give unto you, to serve you, to bless your name. Amen? What have you brought to the Lord today? This is your opportunity to just share that in song and later on in the service as we just continue to rely on him. So right. Let's go.
I was going to do a song about rain and ended up changing my mind, but I had this idea I wanted to try with you guys from something that I witnessed in high school. I would like everybody to copy me in your clapping. We're going to try to reproduce the sound of rain. I don't know if we can do it or not, but we're going to try it, if you guys are willing. Is everybody willing? So we're going to start by clapping just one finger. And you guys, if you do the same thing as me, it might sound cool. We might not have enough people to make it sound cool, but we'll give it a shot. All right? We'll bring in the rain, and we'll let it come back out again. All right? Let's go. Did it work? It's hard to hear up here. Maybe our guests will feel welcome. They're used to a lot of rain. All right.
us in the dark. A song that lights up the stars. One that gives life. One sovereign in power. Who speaks with thunder and fire. One more, one king. There is no other.
I will worship you with all of
is devoted like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your Father, the earth and your kindness makes us whole. Your shoulder, our weakness, your strength becomes our own, making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride free of all her guilt and rid of all her shame, and known by her true name. And it's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised, you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised,
just rain upon us, Lord, we would ask. And God, I just pray. I pray, Lord, that we would examine our hearts, Lord, and look at today as not only what you do for us, Lord, but what is it we can do for you, Lord? We just ask that, Lord. what is it we can do for our neighbor? What can we do for our community and our friends, our family in this world, Jesus? Just to love them, Lord. Love them and pour out the love that you have for us, Lord. We ask for that, God. We ask that. Now, if you have a need out there today, I just ask that you would raise your hand right now. If you're comfortable with that, Lord, if you're comfortable with that. And if you see some hands around, if you feel led, why don't you come over and lay a hand on them or something and pray. Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, that there's needs out here. There may be needs that are unspoken, Lord, that we all have, God. Lord, we pray that you would just minister to them, that you would touch them, God. In a powerful way, Lord, you would pour out your spirit upon them, Lord, and let them just commit these needs to you, God, and minister to them how you feel that they would be, God. We ask that, Lord, today. Lord, we pray, God. And sometimes we may not even know what these needs are. There may be needs that are upcoming here, God. But you know what they are, Lord. And you know that you will take care of them. We pray for that today, God. We ask that now. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd be here with the rest of this service, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord, with Brother Johnson as he brings forth the word here. We pray for that, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would just bless us, God. We ask. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. All right. Y'all may be seated and everything. So, it is wonderful being here in the presence of God, is it not? Being able to worship Him and some excitement. There's a lot of exciting things going on here at the church and different things. We're looking forward to that. One of the things we got going is our dinner church. Our dinner church, we have been over at Jefferson, and they were so nice. Jefferson Elementary, they were so nice, and they let us use their cafeteria for that. But we are moving now because at the end of school, we're going to the Legion, the American Legion here, in their meeting room on Merrill, starting this Wednesday on June 1st at 6 p.m. back there. So if you'd like to come and show some support for that, that would be wonderful as we do an outreach here and we give food to the community and we share a message, a short message with them, kind of in neutral grounds and people be able to see the love of Jesus. And that's what we want to do with that. So I'd encourage you to come to that. Also, VBS this Friday. We get excited about that at 6:30, I think it is. Yeah, 6:30 to 8 for registration and family fun night. And then starting on in the morning at 9 to 2:30, we are going to go at it with these kids. We've been reaching out, touching to different families. If you know some family members there, or you may not have any kids to go, but you might know some neighbors or different things, reach out to them and invite them to come. That'll be great. And so for the leaders, all right, so that's this Thursday for the leaders at 6:30. Go ahead and come here with your tennis shoes, your running shoes on, right? And get ready to kind of run through what we're going to be doing for these young kids here so they can have a good time with the Lord in that. So we have a ladies' coffee is going to be scheduled for Saturday, June 18th at 9:30. It'll be here at the church, and MJ, you're hosting, and that'll be great. And so also, I noticed that the board meeting is going to be moved to January 28th. Or not January, June 28th. We'll have to meet sooner. That'll be about the time for the business meeting, would it not? So, yeah, what?
Sorry, everybody. I really need Doug to help me walk through this.
What? Okay.
You gotta help me. Okay. And maybe it's because we moved yesterday into our new house, and I'm so tired, and my brain is so whatever. And I'm having a serious chocolate craving.
Chocolate craving.
Yes.
You come running up here all because of for chocolate reason, right?
No, but I love chocolate.
She loves chocolate. So what am I going to do about this?
But this is the problem.
Okay, we can talk about. Go ahead.
Missions,
right,
and I love Jesus, and
yes.
I want to be able to focus on the missionary.
Okay, I understand
and all
that.
All the great things that God's doing
yep.
in their lives and for missions.
Uh-huh.
But I can't stop thinking about chocolate. Can you please help me?
You know what? I got something for you. I do.
You do. Oh,
yes, because you know, after the service, you and some of the kids are going to help sell some chocolate for BGMC.
Wait.
Yes, you
yes.
are. And that's going to take care of that, right?
Oh, that's going to really help me. So, you know, I really love chocolate and coffee. And
yeah.
I know somebody likes their coffee black, but I really like coffee. And I love Jesus, and I love
that's
missions
yep.
and chocolate. So we can take chocolate. It's really awesome.
Right.
I love it.
That's the reason why we're doing M&Ms. Missions in ministry. Yeah. All right. We thought all night on that one. But anyway.
Wait a minute. How much are we selling these M&Ms for?
They're going to be $1 a bag.
$1 a bag.
Yes.
Now, what if somebody forgets their money?
They can do an IOU for it, and that'll be just fine.
Because. What if somebody wants to just buy one bag, but they want to donate more?
Yeah, we'll take it. Yeah, that'll be good. We can do that.
If somebody wants to buy chocolate for somebody else.
They can certainly do that.
What if they don't want any chocolate, can they just donate?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely can. Because you know, that donation goes to the BGMC, which supplies literature for all of the missionaries around the world. And we get behind that all the time. So we're going to be doing it this Sunday. You know, you're going to be doing it this Sunday after church here with some of the kids that are going to help you with that. The next Sunday, you know, on June 5th, which is the actual BGMC Sunday, we will be doing that with, I think Lou is going to be helping with some of the kids helping her on that time. So,
where are we going to be after the service?
Right out there and by the front door. And so,
we do.
We got some kids lined up to help with that. And so you should be well focused here now when we listen to our missionary guest today. All right. Sounds good. All right. Yep. Take care. All right. So we're going to be doing BGMC here, as I don't need to go into any more because I think you all figured out what we're doing. So at this time, today the kids, you guys are going to be in church here today with the quiet bags. So in that regard. So without any further ado, Pastor, if you'd like to come up.
Thank you so much, Pastor Doug. That was great. Thank you. And Beth did a great job just introducing what's happening there. And we want to welcome all of you here to our service. We have some first-time visitors. God bless you. We hope that maybe VBS will be possible for you as well. For those of you who are interested, it's an anchored theme, which is going under the sea. Woohoo! And we have to use our imagination because we basically live in what sometimes feel like a desert, but we've had lots of rain, so it shouldn't be so hard this year. But it's wonderful to be able to come together and have that great opportunity. And just a real brief announcement for us. You know, I raised my hand of prayer need, and we are going to be transitioning in our home with basically our kids, we call them our kids, are going to be moving this week. And so this is their last Sunday with us. And so be praying for our kids that will be moving to another state. And just keep them lifted up. They have been such a blessing. I think more blessing than challenge.
And that's saying something. And we are just going to continue to just pray God's blessing on them as they move to a new place to live. And so that's one of my prayer needs for you all to lift up to the Lord. So, you mean out of sight? Yeah, they have to not be on camera. So yeah, would that be all right? Can we pray? Are the kiddos good with that? Yes, come on, gather in the middle. And those of you who know our kids, would you just gather around them, please? And that would be wonderful. And Lou, could I have you from there just lead in prayer? Could you do that for us? They are family and will always be. And for those of you who are online, you're not going to be able to hear anything that's going on, but that's okay. It'll just be a quiet moment for you. Just lift up a prayer. And let's pray, shall we? Thank you for that. That is such a blessing. We are excited to have new friends, for me, who have a history of this region. And so I'm going to ask if Terry and Beth would come and just share what God has laid on their hearts. There'll be a presentation of what they do for ministry as well as a word from God, from the Word of God. And so thank you so much for coming, Terry and Beth. And we just pray God's blessing on you as you serve.
Good morning. I want to thank Pastor Kevin for the opportunity to be here today. And first to say thank you to this church for partnering with us for several years now, helping us regularly in prayer and financial support to help us carry out our work in Brazil. But before I get into talking about our work and bring a message from the Word, I want to give my wife Beth an opportunity because she knows this area well.
Good morning. Thank you for the privilege of being here. I was raised in Montana. I graduated from Circle High School in 1976. My dad was the pastor there, David Schmidt. I don't know if there's anybody left that even remembers him, but that's nearly 50 years ago. This church was a special place for us. The pastor at that time was Don Furco, and my dad and he were very good friends. Joanne and I were best friends. We were graduated the same year from high school. So this is like coming home. And it's amazing how God can take a rural Montana pastor's daughter and take her all the way down south to Brazil. That's how God works. If we are open to do what he wants us to do, he will lead us and guide us in ways that we can't even imagine. So thank you for standing with us, for praying for us. And we pray that the Lord will continue to bless this church. I like your outreaches, the dinner church, and to the children and all of that. And I think that's wonderful. That's God's heart. And so continue to do what you're doing. And thank you so much.
Beth, also her family, her father pastored in Saco, Malta, Ronan, Fairfield, Livingston. So I get to see when we come to Montana, every few years when we're itinerating, I get to see all the places where she was raised and to be with the churches and the people. So it's a delight to be with you today. And as I said, we're here to say thank you for partnering with us. And we want to show you now with the video what you are helping us carry out in the land of Brazil. We've been serving there for 34 years as missionaries. And this is what the latest that we are doing there in the country of Brazil.
Brazil is the fifth largest country in the world with 213 million inhabitants. It has a diversity of people and scenery, from massive waterfalls to large cities to the Amazon and Atlantic rainforests teeming with wildlife. My grandparents, Bernard and Antoinette Johnson Sr., were immigrants to the USA, where they received their call to missions. They arrived in Brazil with their family in December of 1940, and for 40 years, they planted dozens of churches that have started hundreds of other churches since then. My parents, Bernard and Doris Johnson Jr., arrived in Brazil in December of 1957. They began planting and pastoring churches, but felt led to hold evangelistic crusades throughout Brazil and other countries, where they saw 1.8 million people making the decision to follow Jesus. In December of 1990, Beth and I arrived in Brazil to continue the work of the two previous generations. I presently serve as assistant lead pastor for the Varginha Church Network, founded by my grandparents. The main campus has 33 satellite churches in 8 towns and cities. Beth and I assist this church network with church planting and the training of leaders. The Lord directed my father to start a Bible school to make Bible courses available to students at home or in their local church. Brazil Extension School of Theology has trained over 200,000 students for ministry, with 70,000 graduates receiving bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. Some of our graduates are doing missions work as far away as Japan. Besides leading this school, Beth and I teach in-person classes and online classes, along with web seminars. My parents founded Children of Brazil Outreach to build schools for underprivileged children in partnership with local churches. Since 1981, 18 schools have been built and the 19th is under construction. Thousands of children have received a quality secular education and Bible teaching in these schools. Beth and I serve as Brazil Country Coordinators for Child Hope, a sponsorship organization working throughout Latin America. Besides recruiting sponsors for needy students, Child Hope assists us in school construction projects. Beth is involved in music ministry, directing a 400-voice women's choir. She also ministers as a conference speaker. In 2020, we brought the Five Star Man movement to Brazil to minister to men who are facing the same challenges as men elsewhere. Using social media, this ministry teaches God's Word with a daily devotional and weekly video sessions. We recently translated and published a devotional book for men. Conferences are being planned to encourage and strengthen men in these difficult times. Beth and I want to thank you for helping us carry out all of this work in the needy land of Brazil, where 3 out of every 4 Brazilians still need to receive Jesus, and where the churches still need missionaries to help train believers for ministry in the country and around the world. We count on you to continue partnering with us through your faithful prayer and financial support every month. If you do not yet partner with us, we encourage you to do so through the missions program of your church. Thank you for helping us get back to Brazil, where we are needed to lead and carry on all of this work.
So this is the work that you are helping us carry out in that great land, but a needy land. Like I said, 3 out of every 4 Brazilians still need to accept Jesus, and the churches still need missionaries to help train the believers for ministry and to evangelize and to disciple. And so we are spending this year traveling around the country and raising more funds and sharing about our work in order so that we can go back by next January. So thank you again for helping us, for partnering with us to see this work get done. And I want to leave a couple of prayer requests with you. One is that asking you to pray, continue praying that we can reach all of our goals while we're here in the States this year so we can go back by next January. The second need is we ask you to pray for us as next year we set up, when we get back to Brazil, we'll be setting up a school of evangelism and discipleship of Global University of Assemblies of God here in the States. They have authorized us to open the school that pastors and churches in Brazil have been asking for, and that will provide materials and training for evangelizing and for discipling new believers. We also ask you to pray for something that exciting that has just opened up. We have the possibility in our state in Brazil to put our Bible school courses in the state prisons. The first prison just authorized us to do that, so we're setting up a group of students, of convicts, who want to study the Bible with us And if this project goes well, then all the prison system in the state will open up, and perhaps in other states as well. So we ask you to pray that this will happen, that this project will go through. And the fourth thing we want to ask you to do is to pray for elections in Brazil. There are crucial elections coming up in October in Brazil for president, Congress, and state governments. The current president is a conservative Catholic man who is married to a Pentecostal Baptist woman. And it's quite a combination. But she's a powerful prayer warrior. I've seen her in videos, and she's a powerful prayer warrior. And so he's running for re-election. But the other front runner is a former president who was imprisoned on corruption charges. But last year, the leftist Supreme Court let him out of prison and acquitted him of the charges so that he could run for president this year and remove the current president. And this leftist former president that's running has declared that it's his intention, if he is elected in October, it's his intention to turn Brazil eventually into a communist country. So we ask you to pray on behalf of the elections in Brazil. So remembering quickly the four prayer needs for our itineration throughout the U.S. this year, and then for the school evangelism and discipleship, and then for this new possibility of putting our Bible school courses in the prisons, state prisons, and then praying for the elections this year. And I invite you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be reading some verses that are familiar, a familiar passage of scripture. And while you're turning there, I want to also say thank you for supporting BGMC. This is a great ministry that raises funds to help us missionaries with literature overseas, as it was already described. BGMC has helped us in the past print textbooks for our Bible school and has helped us print children's materials that our ministry, Children of Brazil Outreach, has distributed in public schools and in Christian schools. We've published materials for Bible classes that are allowed by law in schools in Brazil. To give you one example, in the large city of Rio de Janeiro, you saw in the video there the statue of Jesus with his arms outstretched overlooking the city of Rio de Janeiro. And in that city, in the slums, there are schools that in the past have used our BGMC materials. And teachers have written to us telling about drug dealers in those slums who make their kids go to Bible class and use our materials because they say, if I had had this when I was small, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. So that's the impact of BGMC. So thank you for supporting BGMC, and give all you can to help. I wish I could have chocolate, but I'm a diabetic. But that sounded great after service. Go for it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17, the Bible tells us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." A number of years ago, a survey was held in the U.S. asking how many homes had at least one copy of the Bible. And the results showed that 73% of American homes had at least one copy of the Bible. A short time later, a second survey was made asking what were the four items most used in American homes. And the results showed that the four items most used in American homes were the microwave oven, television, VHS player, and answering machine. Now, if you're wondering what the last two items are, ask your parents on the way home from church. But that shows how long ago the survey was done. But it showed that the four items most used in American homes at that time were the microwave oven, TV, answering machine, and VHS player. The Bible was missing among these four items most used in American homes, even though 73% of the homes had at least one copy of the Bible. And this is a contradiction in the lives of many people. They find the Bible important, they find the Bible necessary, but they don't use it. A more recent survey said that only 16% of Christians start the day with reading their Bible, while 37% start the day with coffee. And other research shows that 90% of Christians don't read their Bible on a daily basis. This means that we are becoming a biblically illiterate society and generation that doesn't know what the Bible says and don't know how important it is. Now, the armor of God that we need daily, as the Apostle Paul wrote, is incomplete without using the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, the Word of God. Imagine a soldier going into a battle without his weapon. That's the life of the believer, of the Christian, without the Bible. Now, why did Paul call the Bible a sword, the sword of the Spirit? I want to give three answers to that. The first answer is that it's the weapon that we need for the daily battle that we face. It's a weapon for us to use in this daily battle. Several centuries ago, back when the sword was the main weapon of a soldier, he used his sword to attack, to fight, to wound, to kill, to advance, and to conquer. Likewise, when we use the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, when we use it, when we live it by it, when we speak it, when we share it, when we proclaim it, when we preach it, it invades Satan's territory to defeat his work in the lives of people and cities and nations and to rescue the prisoners of sin and of darkness. We see in the Bible, in the New Testament, that Peter, the disciple Peter, carried a sword around in his belt. He actually did. And he used it to cut off the ears of people who threatened Jesus, as he did with the servant of the high priest. But a short time later, on the day of Pentecost, this time we find Peter, full of the Holy Spirit that had just been poured out upon the believers, standing up before a crowd, to face a crowd. And this time he used a different sword. He didn't have that sword in his belt anymore. This time he used a different sword. He used the sword of the Spirit. He preached the good news of Jesus found in the Bible. And that day, 3,000 people became followers of Jesus after Peter used the sword of the Spirit. And then we see also in the book of Acts, short time later, Peter faces another crowd and uses the same sword of the Spirit, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ and of the Bible. And another 5,000 people become followers of Jesus on that day after hearing him. Friends, like Peter, we can be dangerous to the devil if we use the sword of the Spirit, if we speak and we use the Bible. Results come when we use it as an offensive weapon, when we speak it, we share it, we live it, we preach it. As you saw in the video, my father held crusades for many years in Brazil until his death, where he saw 1.8 million people make the decision to follow Jesus because he used the sword of the Spirit. He preached Jesus found in the Bible. He preached the Word of God. He also saw thousands of people receive healings, miracles, and deliverance in those crusades. I remember one crusade, I wasn't there, but he held it in the southeastern city of Uberlândia. And on the first night of the crusade, he was seated on the platform at the beginning of the service when he saw a family come bringing a man in a wheelchair. And this man was all crumpled up. His body was all twisted and hunched over because of a childhood disease. And they brought him to the front of the crowd. As my father was preaching that night, all of a sudden he and the crowd started hearing a popping sound. And he thought, somebody brought a popcorn cart into the middle of the crowd and is making popcorn for the people. And he's looking around while he's preaching. He's looking around to see where the popcorn cart was and who was making popcorn. He couldn't see anybody. And finally, when he looked down at the front, he discovered the source of the sound. It was the man's bones straightening out and his body straightening out until he stood up completely healed and went home that night pushing his wheelchair. That's the power of the sword of the Spirit when we use it as an offensive weapon. That miracle fulfilled Psalm 107, verse 20, that says, "Then the Lord sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." You see, this miracle didn't even happen at the end of the service when my father would pray for all the sick people. It happened while he was preaching. Because that's the power of the word of God. That's the power of the sword of the Spirit when we use it as an offensive weapon. Almost 50 years ago, the Lord woke my father up and said to him, 1.8 million people coming to Jesus in your crusades is not enough. Now I want you to start an extension Bible school that will take Bible courses to the believers in their church and in their home. So my father obeyed and started our Brazil Extension School of Theology that over the last 43 years has trained over 200,000 believers in Brazil to use the sword of the Spirit, and training them for ministry, training them to use the Bible in their daily life and in ministry, because the sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon. But the sword of the Spirit is also a defensive weapon for us to use. A soldier back then, and when he used his sword, he didn't use it just to attack, but there were times when he had to defend himself, especially when he and his fellow soldiers were being overpowered by larger numbers or by stronger soldiers. They had to use their sword to defend themselves as well. And we see in the book of Matthew, or chapter 4 in the Bible, we find that Satan, at the start of Jesus' ministry, Satan came to him to confront him and try to defeat him by offering three temptations to him. And what was Jesus' defense at that time? Did he cry out to his Father for help? Did he go back to praying and fasting? Did he call on the angels to come defend him? No, he defended himself using the sword of the Spirit. He answered each of the three temptations by quoting scripture verses from the Old Testament. To the first temptation, he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And to the second temptation, he answered, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And to the third temptation, he answered, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship only the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." The devil couldn't stand up against that sword of the Spirit, and he left Jesus alone. Friends, without this book, without the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, we are weak and vulnerable. But nobody is able to defeat the Christian who uses the word of God, the Bible, the sword of the Spirit as an offensive weapon and as a defensive weapon. I also believe that the Apostle Paul called the Bible a sword, the sword of the Spirit, because it's the instruction manual provided by the Holy Spirit for living the Christian life and for carrying out ministry. Let me explain it this way. Back when the sword was a soldier's main weapon, he had to train with it. He had to know how to use it. He had to know how to hold it. He had to learn how to maneuver with the sword to attack or to defend himself. He went through a training process to do that. And likewise, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is an instruction manual provided by the Holy Spirit to teach us how to live the Christian life and how to carry out ministry. What's the first thing that we should do when we buy a car or an appliance? We should read the instruction manual, right? Because if I buy a car that uses one kind of fuel and I didn't read the instruction manual, I put another kind of fuel in it, I'm going to have problems. Or if I take an appliance, a 110 volt appliance, and plug it into a 220 outlet, which we have a lot in Brazil, because I didn't read the instruction manual, I'm going to have problems. Friends, the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, is our instruction manual to learn and to apply to daily living and to minister to others. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things and guide us into all truth. This book is the manual that he uses to teach us and to train us. As the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. It was exactly 42 years ago that Beth and I graduated from Central Bible College in Missouri and entered full-time ministry. Well, we had a classmate named Martin. Martin was a gifted young man, very talented, very charismatic, very dynamic, very friendly, and very intelligent. He was so intelligent that he used to get A's, straight A's in all of his classes. He sat next to me in some of those classes, and he would sleep through class. He would lay his head down on the desk and go to sleep, but the professors never bothered him because they knew he got straight A's. After we graduated from Bible college, Beth and I entered ministry, and Martin went off to Harvard University to get a master's degree in theology. And he was so smart, so intelligent, that he got his master's degree in 1 year that normally took 3 years to get. Then he accepted the invitation to go back to our alma mater and teach in the Bible department for 5 years. And then he accepted the invitation to go be the lead pastor of the largest church, Assemblies of God Church, in that state, located in the state capital with 1,000 members, and the governor of the state was a church member there as well. And so he accepted the invitation. 2 years later, we went to visit his church, and we saw how God was blessing Martin greatly. At the age of 30, he had in the palm of his hand everything desired by a young minister and a young pastor. But 3 years later, I was devastated when I got the news that Martin was unfaithful to his wife, ended up leaving his family, leaving the church, giving up his ministry, and disappeared for a while. And when I got the news, I said, Lord, why? How could that have happened to someone so gifted, so talented, dynamic, so intelligent? And the Lord immediately sent the answer saying, it happened because he didn't practice what he taught and what he preached. He studied the Word of God, he preached it, he taught it, but he didn't live it. And the lesson out of that situation for me was that we have to live by the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, our instruction manual, for God to bless our daily living and our ministering to others. Now, in comparison, I want to tell you about another friend named Neil Kennedy, who is a distant relative of the former U.S. President John F. Kennedy. Neil was raised in Oklahoma in a dysfunctional home. At the age of 5, his parents divorced because his father had been unfaithful to Neil's mother. And soon after, she married a man who turned out to be a nightmare stepfather. Neil was raised in that home surrounded by drugs, abuse, alcohol, and fits of rage. As a teenager, he decided that he was not going to end up that way. So he started searching for answers. And one day, his sister's boyfriend recommended to him a book called See You at the Top, written by Zig Ziglar, famous business consultant and Christian motivational speaker. And in the book, Zig recommended reading one chapter a day from the book of Proverbs in the Bible, because Proverbs has 31 chapters. He recommended reading one chapter out of the book of Proverbs every day in order to be successful in life. So Neil started doing that. And that led him to find Assemblies of God Church in his hometown, where he gave his life to Jesus. And when he graduated from high school, he went off to Bible college, where he became good friends with my wife's youngest brother. And then after graduation, Neil and his wife went into ministry. They began working as associate pastors in two good, successful churches. And then the Lord led them to plant two large, successful churches. But about 13 years ago, the Lord started dealing with him about leaving his church and starting a ministry to men over the internet. Neil saw the challenges that men were facing, and he wanted them to excel in life like he had. So the Lord started directing him to put together this ministry and movement called Five Star Man. And it's based on teachings that the Lord gave Neil from the book of Proverbs, showing that every godly, authentic Bible man, biblical man, has five characteristics. And so he started this ministry, and it's expanded. And now over 300,000 men across the USA are part of this ministry and movement over the internet. They follow Neil's daily devotionals on his radio broadcasts and on his website and fan page, and his weekly video sessions that he teaches over the internet. About 3 years ago, I sensed the urge to do something like that in Brazil, and already knowing the Five Star Man ministry, I talked to Neil about it. I saw the urgency because I started seeing terrible things happening with men in Brazil. I recall one case of a father who grabbed his six-year-old son and jumped off the balcony of his sixth-floor apartment, and both died on impact. And he left a note saying that he did that because his wife was in the process of divorcing from him, so he wanted to get back at her. And then last December in our city, where we are living, there in Brazil, a man fought with his wife. She threatened to divorce him, so he went after her and their daughter with a chainsaw, and the neighbors were able to restrain him until the police arrived. So I saw these cases, and so I talked to Neil. Neil authorized me to bring Five Star Man Brazil to the country of Brazil, as you saw in the video, a ministry to men over the internet. And now we have hundreds of men that are following this ministry, learning from the Word of God, receiving teaching to help them in their work, their home, their businesses. And we even have women that are following and commenting on our fan page how the teachings from the Sword of the Spirit are helping the men in their lives. So we have found one more tool that we can use to teach the Word of God, to use the Sword of the Spirit in the nation of Brazil, because the Sword of the Spirit is our instruction manual for daily living and for ministering to others. And last, I believe Paul called the Bible a sword, the Sword of the Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit's instrument to transform lives and bring outcomes, changed outcomes, and to determine destinies. It's this instrument of the Holy Spirit to transform lives and outcomes. Back when the soldier's main weapon was the sword, his use of his sword determined the outcome of battles. The use of his sword determined if he would survive the battle or not. So using a sword back then could be a life-changing experience. And we see in the Bible, in Hebrews 4:12, that says, "For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart." This means that the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, goes where no one can go and brings about changes and outcomes that no one can bring. The sword of the Spirit, the message of this book, the Bible, penetrates to the core of a person and brings about changes and outcomes that no doctor, no medication, no prescription, no psychologist, no psychologist, no counselor, no sociologist, no politician, or no preacher can bring. But the word of God, the sword of the Spirit brings, because it's the Holy Spirit's instrument to transform lives and outcomes. And I want to close by telling you about another one of my father's crusades that he held 50 years ago in the city of Niterói. Going back to that picture of the statue of Jesus overlooking the city of Rio de Janeiro, across the bay is the city of Niterói. That crusade lasted from one Sunday to the next. And the sports gymnasium that seated 20,000 people was packed nearly every night. Thousands of people made the decision to follow Jesus. There, dozens of people received healings, miracles, and deliverance. I could spend all day telling about some of those, but I want to highlight one. That on the Wednesday of the crusade, my father got up, and as was his custom, he began to pray and fast asking the Lord which message he should bring in the service that night. He spent the day praying and fasting, and the Lord did not give him a message. The Lord didn't tell him which message to preach that night. At 6 in the evening, my father started getting ready to go to the crusade. No message. At 7 o'clock, he got in the car that took him to the sports gymnasium. Still no message. He walked up on the platform. At 7:30, he started the service. No message. The service ran normally with hymns and choruses sung and prayer, Bible reading, and a huge mass choir made up from all the churches in the city sang. And as the service going along, my father's praying, Lord, in a few minutes I will have to get up and preach, and I don't have a message. What am I going to do? When the crusade soloist got up to sing two special songs before the sermon, my father felt the Holy Spirit telling him, tell two miracles that Jesus did here on the earth. And my father said, what? And the Holy Spirit said to him again, tell two miracles that Jesus did here on the earth. So my father quickly opened his Bible to the New Testament, found two miracles that Jesus did on the earth. Came time for him to preach. He got up, he greeted the crowd, and he said, friends, tonight I am not going to preach because the Lord did not give me a message. There was silence throughout that gymnasium. He went on to say, but the Holy Spirit indicated to me that I should tell two miracles that Jesus did here on the earth. So he told the miracle of the blind man Bartimaeus that Jesus healed on the outskirts of the city of Jericho. And then my father started telling the miracle of that sick man who was carried in his sick bed by friends to the house where Jesus was. But the crowd inside and out was so big that they couldn't get in. So they climbed up on the roof with their friend, opened a hole in the roof, and lowered the man in front of Jesus for Jesus to heal him. About the time my father had the four friends lowering the man, sick man in front of Jesus, my father heard and then saw a commotion way up in the bleachers. And when he looked, there were about 200 people standing on their feet with their hands raised, praising the Lord. Anything that bothered my father while he was preaching was any noise or commotion, because he felt everybody should listen to what was being preached from the Word of God. So he called his crusade director over and said, go up there, see what's going on. Tell that group to be quiet, sit down until I'm done. So as the crusade director ran up there, my father continued telling the story. 2 minutes later, he looked up, and the crusade director was there with his hands raised, praising the Lord as well. So my father motioned for him to come back. The man came back and brought a family with him, father, mother, and 5 kids. And every 5 steps, the mother would stop to hug and kiss her husband and every one of her 5 kids. When they finally got to the platform, my father said to the crusade director, what happened up there? And the man said, let the woman tell you. So my father called her over and said, lady, tell us what happened up there, and why did it take you so long to get down here to the platform, stopping every few steps to hug and kiss your family? She grabbed the microphone out of his hand and said, Reverend, I'm 38 years old. I was born blind. I lived in a world of darkness. I married this man and gave birth to these 5 kids without ever seeing their faces. But as you told the miracles of Jesus tonight, he visited me up there in the bleachers and he touched and opened my eyes. And now I'm seeing for the first time in my life. That crowd went wild praising God for the miracle. And my father said to her, lady, you can hug and kiss your family all you want. And he took advantage of the moment to invite people who wanted to accept Jesus to come to the front to be prayed over. And hundreds of people came running to the front. And then he prayed over the sick, called the sick to the front, prayed over them. And the Lord continued working miracles, signs, and wonders. When my father and his crusade team left that gymnasium at 1:30 in the morning, there were still 10,000 people there praising the Lord for what had happened that night. How did it happen? Because a well-known crusade preacher preached that night? Or because a powerful sermon was preached? No, it happened because the sword of the Spirit was used by simply telling two miracles that Jesus did here on the earth. And lives were transformed. Destinies and outcomes were changed. because of the sword of the Spirit was used. Friends, the Word of God, the Bible, the sword of the Spirit is the instrument of the Holy Spirit in our mouths and in our hands to see lives transformed and see destinies and outcomes changed. So why did Paul call the Bible a sword, the sword of the Spirit? Because it's our offensive weapon and defensive weapon to use in the battle that we face, spiritual battle we face daily. It's also our instruction manual provided by the Holy Spirit for living the Christian life and for ministering to other people. And he called the Bible the sword of the Spirit because it's the instrument of the Holy Spirit to change lives and outcomes and destinies. We have in Mark chapter 16, verse 20 in the Bible, a promise where it says, "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that followed." Friends, when we use this sword, the sword of the Spirit, by living it, by sharing it, by speaking it, by proclaiming it, we are going to see results come on our behalf, on our behalf of our families, our churches, our nation, and of this world. So let's make this the year of the Bible, the year of the Bible for us and for others whom we can impact and see changed. Amen? Before Pastor comes to end the service, I want to pray, say a prayer over this church, and I invite those who are able to stand with me. I want to say this prayer, and then Pastor will come. And would you do something with me? Would you grab your Bible, whether it's on your cell phone or it's a hard copy? Would you grab your Bible and hold it close? Hold it to your chest. Hold it close as we pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you and praise you for this day, for one more opportunity in this land of the free to gather to worship you and to hear from your word and then to go out and fulfill your word. Thank you, Father, for your hand upon this church family, for all that you have done in the past, are doing now, and are going to do in the future. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come once again upon this church family, upon the pastor and other leaders in this church, and upon this, even this building and this neighborhood. We pray the Spirit of God will come upon all today, once again, to use this church family to proclaim your word, to live your word, to share your word as they go back to their neighborhood, their home, as they go back to school, as they go back to work this week. We pray that the Spirit of God would rest upon them and their hearts would be full and their mouths would be full of the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, so they can use it powerfully to see lives changed and determine and destinies and outcomes determined with new life. So we pray, Father, for the Spirit of God from this moment on to rest powerfully once again upon this church, using them and using the sword of the Spirit to see many results, to see many coming to Jesus, see many filled with God, and see this church overflowing soon because the Spirit of God is working through them as they use the sword of the Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the partnership of this church with us on behalf of Brazil, and pray that you'll continue blessing these people, blessing this church family and her leadership as they continue standing with us and our colleagues around the world. Continue to bless, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you, and thank you again for your partnership.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Brother Terry. Before I dismiss you, we are going to have an opportunity for giving, one last chance to give for support. And if you're writing out a check, just write it out to Glendive Assembly of God, and we'll combine that together into one offering check. And we'll have, I think, are the offering plates available to bring back up front? If we could do that, that would be wonderful. Yes. Yes, and We will have prayer cards being handed out also for you. So if you would be able to take one of those. And I know we hear it often, missionaries will say, you know, we appreciate the financial giving, but we really, really appreciate your prayers. I have known that to be very true throughout many, many years, where that is a sincere request, is that you would pray over them as the Lord will remind you. But I want to thank all the kids for doing such a great job today, doing your quiet bags. Normally we have our kids' church going on, but on the fifth Sundays, when those do arrive, we have Quiet Bag Sunday. So thank you for being great, kids. You did awesome. And next week we'll have our kids' church going again as well. Thank you, Doug. And let's pray as we just ask a blessing on this offering, shall we? Lord, we're so thankful for the privilege it is to give and to support missions. What a great work that has been happening in Brazil for many, many years, for generations now, but so many more need to know about your love and your word. And I just pray, Lord God, that you will just continue to guide the Johnsons as they travel and as they prepare to go back to their place of ministry. We pray that this offering will help to further your kingdom in regions that we will never be able to visit, but you can go with us or through us and through the giving of your children. So we just pray a blessing on each and every one who's able to give. In Jesus' name, amen.